was the night before Iceman, when all through the room, four Iceman racers decided to zoom. The bibs, they were hung on the dresser with care, in hopes that some chamois lube soon would be there. The racers were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of mud, ice, and snow danced in their heads. And our wives rolling their eyes and I snoring in bed had finally settled our nerves, for tomorrow we may be dead. When out on the lawn a free hub did clatter, I rose from my bed to see what was the matter. It was the start of the race, oh how was I late? I hopped on my bike and sprang to my gate. On wave one, on wave two, on wave three, oh my! Time to chug a bottle of Roctane until you see veins in my eyes. I pedal and pedal until tears ran down my face. Why the hell did I decide to do this race? Hours pass and climbs get even harder. My soul with the devil I'd be willing to barter. Alas, I hear in the distance a cheer. Oh, what is that? I can almost taste the beer. So I huff and I puff and I pedal and I climb. Before I know it, I've crossed the finish line. I kiss my wife and say woo with my friends. Happy Iceman to all, and may 2020 soon end.
Gonna get in the car with a smile and the burn that I put on my arm the day you went away, girl. And I probably won't come back around again.
Welcome to Local Roots Podcast.
Welcome. I'm excited, Brian. I'm in a great mood. How are you, buddy?
I think I'm almost
buddy,
as excited.
Buddy, how are you, doing, buddy?
I'm not that excited, but I'm pretty excited.
Pal, friend,
dude,
what's up?
Amigo, chum.
What'd you call me? Hey, what'd you call me?
Called you a chum.
Oh, chum. That still sounds like bad. That's like what
we drive.
You are
jalopies.
Chum. You are. What's
that? I don't know.
Okay.
That's what Hardy Boy said to the other. He's like, hey, chum, let's go ride in my jalopy and we'll go get the bad guy.
Wow. Yes, okay. We've narrowed this.
Did you read
like
Hardy
maybe
Boys?
One listener. No.
So I used to think a jalopy was like an actual like brand, like make of car. And then it's not.
Isn't it like a style of like a Model T or something? Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not the only one. Okay, cool.
Yeah, you're not the only one. But also, I was more of a Goosebumps boy, not really a Hardy Boy.
You liked R.L. Stine. What about the books where you had to choose your own ending?
Oh, those were the ones I read every day because
weren't those Goosebumps?
Yes, Goosebumps.
Sometimes Goosebumps did that. Not always.
Our magical listener chimed in.
Yeah. Hey, we haven't introduced you yet. You friggin' zip it, Mister.
Is he a Goosebump? It's R.L. Stine himself.
Oh, he's being spooky. It's Halloween. I lost my train. Oh, yeah. I think because I lose my train of thought and I'm so ADD, that's why I love the Choose Your Own Adventures, because you don't have to like always like go to the next page. Sometimes you get to move around.
You don't like reading books from left to right. You like just like,
no, it gets
go
boring.
Backwards.
Exactly.
Like if he needs a book, he can go up and down and diagonal.
Exactly. keep me on my toes. All right. So we have two of your favorites. Actually, poor Tyler, he recorded like for a half hour with us one day, maybe even an hour,
and longer,
the whole recording was lost. So you haven't even met Tyler yet. But
here he is.
Yeah, we got Tyler here, one of our best buds, with Evan. You already know Evan, Evan. He's basically the third host at this point.
Sorry, guys, I'm back.
Sorry, he's a polisher. And the theme today is, was it yesterday is Iceman of last year? Like 1 year ago yesterday?
1 year ago, yeah.
Yeah.
But tomorrow was supposed to be Iceman this year, right?
Saturday, but yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's Friday.
So yeah, we're doing our own Iceman after party and just reminiscing of our favorite Iceman moments and just kind of talking about the state of the world right now. It's the end of a crazy year. I mean, everything has changed.
Godzilla can still come out and
I'm ready for it. I got my Godzilla pistol in my backyard ready.
How big is that guy?
Well, it's not a
pistol so much as a shit, what is it called? Like a guillotine, slingshot. Medieval times, a catapult. It's my Godzilla catapult.
What do you catapult at him?
Oh, like slime. He hates it.
He
hates slime. I actually just
he doesn't like purple slime.
Yeah, well, that nobody likes purple slime. I put that's actually Barney's poop. Oh my god, imagine.
Well, we're getting deep.
Barney probably takes some massive turds.
Yeah, and I bet it's purple because Barney's freaking purple.
This is getting cut out.
I don't edit the podcast anymore. They hear all this. All right. Anyways, I don't really have a catapult, and Godzilla's probably not going to come. But we do have two wonderful folks here. Let's go around the horn. Let's let Tyler go first since we haven't got to talk to him yet. Other than hating all of our shit and rolling your eyes the whole time we're talking right now, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, we see you.
A little bit about myself. What? All right.
His hat looks good. I don't know.
What's your favorite color?
Because I'm so close. We're going to go with blue. But
what's your favorite number?
23.
Why?
Are you a Michael Jordan fan?
I was going to say, you MJ?
No.
What's your favorite kind of potato meal? Like, do you like french fries? Do you like hash browns?
I'm a sweet potato guy.
Me too. Hell yeah.
Now, here's the question. Do you like your sweet potatoes seasoned, or do you like them in like a sweet, like buttery cinnamon dip?
Well, it depends. I go both ways.
You swing both ways on that matter. Okay. I like it.
Yeah. Have you had a purple potato?
I have.
Fun fact, I used to help farm them in my farm job.
No way.
Well, it makes them purple.
Yeah.
It's Barney's poop.
They're actually called blue potatoes, but they look more purple.
These were labeled purple.
Really? They're fake names.
Yeah.
They're not real.
Brian, you idiot.
Pretty purple. All right, we'll make them purple.
I have no idea. Do they stay purple when you cut them? Or when you cook them?
Yeah.
Like you get purple mashed potatoes?
I mean, I don't usually make mashed potatoes.
I only grill them, but can you mash them?
I guess we're going to find out.
Boil them, mash them, stick them.
Man, I love our mountain bike and craft beer podcast where we talk about the best colored potatoes. Hell yeah, bro.
Awesome. Brian's all about those spuds, so.
I do love
Brian spud. Is a big spud guy.
I call Alexa my spud. So yeah,
I think you get that from your father.
Yeah. That's my impression of Kevin is, hey guys, want me to throw some spuds on the grill?
Then we get on the boat, drink 12 beers and come back for some spud.
Yeah. Hell yeah, brother.
Don't forget to thank him for the yank.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Let's not give any context to that.
It's when he pulls them.
Yeah, that's what they call it.
So fun fact here, the whole reason I mountain bike is because of Tyler. So, and it goes back to Iceman. So I think this is a good fitting story to get us started here. So
yeah, the reason
I used to live in, can I help you? I was talking.
Continue.
No, you can go. I was just being a dick. I was going to say
the whole reason I mountain bike is because of the three of you.
Aw, cool. So you can tell that story next. Anyway, I used to live in Traverse City.
Jimmy, you can tell that story next.
And it was maybe 3-4 years ago at this point. And five? Tyler's telling me four.
I think it was my second year. It was four. Okay.
So it was my first like kind of winter going into winter in TC, and it was a Saturday night, and all of a sudden Evan was in town, Tyler and Joel were in town, and I get a call from these guys and they're like, hey, we're in your neck of the woods. And I'm like, what the heck are you guys up here for? Some bike race? You watched bikers? And they're like, no, we raced. And I'm like, what? So I follow these guys around all night. We're bar hopping. And then we go to the Iceman after party. And it was maybe the most fun I've had in TC maybe ever. And I didn't even do the race. So it started with, we're, Yeah.
We went to GoKenny's that night. It was right before your wedding, because that's when you gave me my gift for being a bluesman.
I asked you guys to be in my wedding that day too.
Yeah.
So it was, maybe I was just in a good mood probably from that too. And I remember we're in line to get into the hotel because that's where the after party was, and it's a $20 cover, or if you have a room key, you can do it. And then all of a sudden Joel says catch, and he frisbees me this room
behind
key
the back, like, of some girl getting her ID checked. He literally threw it. And Larry, like, being Larry, actually caught it.
I don't know how I did it. And he means Larry being Larry, as Larry being the most gumpy person in the world. I like catch it out of thin air. So I got in for free and I was like, hell yeah. Anyway, we just have the best party. It was so much fun. And boo on Iceman for not having it anymore, because it's such a good venue for the party. And
the Holiday Inn.
The Holiday Inn right by the water. So long story short, I vowed, because I had so much fun there, is next year I'm coming back, but I will have done the race, because the only thing to make that day better is if, like, I actually earned to be there, because I was having such a good time, but all these people were like talking about the race and like celebrating with all the hard work they just put in and stuff. And I'm like, man, next year, not only am I going to have this much fun, but I'm going to be cool like these guys and do the race. And I bought a bike that next fall, and you know, now I'd host a free mountain bike podcast.
Yeah, right. That's awesome.
So anything to add to that, Tyler, of like,
oh man,
what your first experience was?
Well,
how many
are you?
When I told you, or here, let me ask this first. When I told you next year I'm gonna do it, what percent of you thought that I would actually like start mountain biking?
I thought, well, actually 100%, and I'll give it to you because you lived in Traverse City at the time, and like, there's just so many bike things happening in Traverse City, and you live right there. I was, all I could think was like, how won't he do this next year? So I knew you had it.
Hell yeah.
Then Brian,
you're about to say something.
We just had to get Brian in there now.
Yeah.
So I think if Brian would have been there that night, he would have did it the next year.
I think so too. He just wasn't there. When you're in that magic of like that Iceman in the air in Traverse City, there's nothing like it.
It is a different world that night.
Yeah, I was in a dark place during all this. I was still
living. Oh yeah.
The oldest.
That was the year after, though, right? That was the year after. Not that year. That was the year after you were in a dark time, because that was after Larry's wedding.
Nope, I was in a dark time. It was definitely.
You don't want to expand. That was his emo phase. No, he was listening to a lot of My Chemical Romance and Fall Out Boy.
It never stopped. No, I was finishing. Well, in the process of finishing my master's, it ended up turning into, I was kind of just beginning finishing my master's. But I was living in Mount Pleasant. I think I did a lot of partying with your brother. I did a lot of, actually, I probably got a lot of miles in, because I rode my dad's old Kuhara to the bird like every day. And like every morning, every day? I was like, wow, that wheel is like, look real tacoed. And I'd just kind of bend it back. And it was
what's a bike shop? I got my own hands. I love that.
You remember my apartment, Henkel Apartments, that like,
yeah, I lived there.
Yeah, there was like that little like narrow like dirt like little trail that went from like the apartments to like the subdivision that was
shortcut.
Yeah, I used to always like cruise my bike through there, and then every once in a while, you know, hit a tree.
Every once in a while,
you know, drunk as hell, you hit it. Or was it because your tire gave out on you?
Yeah, probably a combination of everything, but more I think the alcohol, me trying to drown my sorrows of Mount Pleasant away.
So I think what
you guys left me. So
anyway, yeah,
we left you. I was there for 5.5 years, and
me too. I
needed you guys to be there with me the whole time. But anyway,
honestly, I would have loved to, but I couldn't live in that apartment. I couldn't live in that apartment anymore.
I couldn't live in that town. Anyways, moving on.
So I gotta steer this back to one specific bike that I think brought us all together at one time.
The Hummer?
And it is the yellow Hummer bike.
Hummer bike.
Yes. We put more miles on that thing than any other bike in Mount Pleasant.
wasn't the fork bent like
it was
30 degrees back? Like
I think everything was bent. Yep. That's what made it so great.
That bike's
and then awesome. It folded in half in case you needed to take it anywhere instead of ride it somewhere.
Just in case you wanted to pack your 50-pound Hummer bike in a suitcase to take it somewhere.
It was literally maybe more than 50 75. Pounds. Yes. Yeah. It was solid steel, or worse. Yeah.
Steel would be Hummer. Nice. How could it not be solid
steel? True. Yeah, yeah. That's
everyone else is going lighter, and Hummer's just adding weight.
Well, more's better, right?
Doesn't even run on gas.
Yeah.
But it uses a ton.
No, it requires gas. There's just no engine.
Yeah.
Tyler, I specifically remember riding. There was a period of time where we all would like borrow bikes that we found on the side of the road.
borrow bikes.
Hey, yeah. They were like, my own. I didn't borrow.
If we were drunk and we were walking home and there was a bike that looks like it's been sitting there for a semester or two, it was our bike.
Like they were clearly we weren't grabbing bikes from people's porch. They were like clearly abandoned. And I
remember we never took anything nice.
Yeah, we never stole anyone's bike. Like, anyways, I remember one of these instances. Tyler, you were like, hey, there's a bike, got the handlebars. And I'm like, okay. And like, next thing I know, like we're both in the middle of this bush, like full speed.
That reminds me of graduation night. So I forgot my wallet back at the bar and they closed at 2, obviously. And I called them at like 2:15. They're like, yeah, if you can make it here by 2:20, you're good. That was when we lived Ferry Street. And I cut through 2 blocks and I literally like I had a dress shirt on and like I ripped it so like fast that all of the buttons stayed on the like the left side and the shirt was completely torn over, so I like just pulled a button off and dropped it and they all just like were there.
That's some dork.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
that absolutely rules.
Okay. Got my wallet.
Let's maybe go around the horn real quick. And I shared my first, like when I first learned what Iceman was. I want to hear when you guys first learned like the existence of it and what made you sign up. Whoever wants to go first.
Good question.
I'll go.
I only
2000. So I think I got my first like real bike, end of 2014 ish.
Real and, bike. Like, tell us what that was.
Specialized rock hopper coming in at 30 pounds.
Real bike. All right.
Yeah. The base level specialized entry bike. It was like the first bike you could buy that was like out of box stores in an actual bike shop.
Hey, I have rock hopper. But, respect.
Yeah. Everyone starts somewhere, right? So that bike was, I actually really liked that bike and it was really good. So, but anyways, so 2014, I had this bike and like, we always talked about it and like 30 miles was like, holy 30 miles. Like it would be just awesome just to complete it kind of thing.
You don't still think that?
I do think that. I think my perspective's just shifted a little bit.
Okay.
From being amazed I completed 30 miles kind of thing. But in 2014 was the year that it literally downpoured to the point where it was just mud. Pretty much like last year. But 2014, yeah. I'm gonna say was worse judging by the pictures. But I was actually really disappointed. Like I wasn't a part of that year just because it was like an outlier to every other year. It was like so bad that everyone had a story. So it was just like next year we're doing it. So just finally committed to signing up.
Did Joel do it that year?
Yeah, so did Evan. So that was 2014. I take that back. 2014 was like the year before we all did it. And then 2015 was when Joel, myself and Evan decided we're going to give this a go.
Yeah.
So similarly, you saw it that year and it was kind of the same mentality. It was like, wow, I need to be there. I wish I was there this year. I'm going to be there next year. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Mudman made you want to do Iceman.
Yeah. That's kind of funny when you put it that way.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think you also have a different perspective when you like see it outside. Like I wasn't that experienced on a bike. I don't know what riding in mud life is like. So I grew up riding dirt bikes and I'd like doing that in the mud. So it's different, right?
Like driving my car in the mud. It's great. I guess that's true. Like
if more effort.
if anyone saw, just like looking, if anyone saw this past year's race and just saw like us at the finish line, they'd be like, this is awesome. And but like they didn't see like
smiling covered in mud. They can't read our minds of like, fuck my whole entire life. See,
yeah, like the tears in the middle of the trail. And like
I think I took my glasses off about 30 seconds into the race and didn't put them back on
because you were crying so hard.
Yeah, there was tears.
That's what I had to do.
I just wanted some wind on my tears so that everything would freeze.
Yes.
It just seemed like a nice experience.
You wanted to keep the salt in your body.
No, I started like mid pack and there was so much water on the grass that I was just like flinging up from everybody's tire and my glasses were immediately just destroyed. So I just put them in my pocket and rode the whole race without glasses.
Awesome. So Evan, then, while you're talking, how about you share your story?
So I bought a bike for just screwing around. I think it was the summer of 2013. It was right after Tony moved in. You moved out, Tony moved in.
Ah, okay.
I think it was 2013.
For context, I know that means nothing to anyone listening, but Evan and I were actually roommates, and then I left, and Evan stayed at the same place, and a new person moved in.
Yeah, okay.
That
yeah.
was worth stopping Sorry. Down for, right?
Yeah, yeah. So
thank you for the clarification.
Yeah. So
our lives are better now.
I bet. Yeah.
I didn't really. I wasn't really super into biking when I first bought it, but then I got a call from Marshall, another buddy of ours that kind of grew up in the same area as we did. And he's like, hey, come ride bikes with us. And he was talking about, you know, a couple other people that I actually still ride with today. They live by me now.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we went out and we rode this place called Addison Oaks, which is kind of near Lake Orion. And, when we got done, he showed me his number plate from Iceman. And ooh. he was there in 2014 when they got all that rain. And he was telling me about, you know, how gnarly it was and how much fun it was and like finishing it and how long it took and all this stuff. And it just sounded insane. And I think I signed up the first day the Iceman was available to sign up
for. Good for you. No hesitation.
Yeah. I was,
wow.
I was all in at that point. Cause he was like, oh, it's insane. There's, you know, all these people and, you know,
that's back when it sold out.
Yeah. Right. So I was super stoked after hearing about that. And, so yeah, the first year was pretty good. I died. You know, it was super hard and I had to stop every 5 miles, but after you do it once, you realize how much effort you really need to put in to do something like that. So it's good in that sense.
More than you think.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I was doing like, I think before the first Iceman, I think I had 500 miles the entire year. And there was, I mean, Mount Pleasant's pretty flat. So there was not a lot
of elevations.
Yeah. So that was an eye opener for me. But
here you are. How many Icemans later?
How many is it, Tyler? Is it five?
Good
five.
For you.
This would have been six.
You've both done five Icemen.
Yep.
Wow.
As we did it. We did our first year was the same year.
That's awesome. So Brian, we could share yours, but really quick, I just had this epiphany. It's like, everyone has that like story of like how hard it is that first time. And like every time that you do it, it's still like, fuck me. Why am I doing this? Like you get that feeling at least like four times.
Last year,
you guys just said 5 years. Brian and I have done, I guess I've done it three or so. And Brian done two or three. And we're addicted to killing ourselves essentially. Like, what
it's a challenge. We're addicted to having a better result than you did the last year.
And we always look back fondly too. Like, you know, it's like as hard and terrible it feels. Cause it, I don't know. I'm a big baby too, but I feel miserable. Like at least last time, because it was muddy and just crazy and shitty. But like, there's times where I'm like, I can't believe I'm out here right now and I still have 10 miles to go, but I still look back at it right now as damn, was that fucking awesome?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's such a phenomenon.
That is definitely,
it goes back to the saying, it never gets easier. You just get faster.
Just get fat. Like that is so true.
Right.
Yep. Last year. Oh. I was just going to say last year took me longer than my first year.
But did you move up positions? Because that's what matters.
Oh yeah, yeah. I moved up positions, but it was just funny because I remember the first year. I'm like, oh my god, I'm out here for 3 hours.
that's very true. Yeah.
Last year I was out there for like 3 hours and God, I want to say 15 minutes or something like that. It was like 10 minutes longer than my first year.
But it sucked.
Yeah, last year was muddy.
Actually, I had to go back and look at times for this pod.
I'm curious to know what the time. I don't remember what my time was, but it was long.
Yeah. And you started pretty far back, too.
Yeah.
I mean, because it was only your second year.
That's true. So, I didn't have to stop and pee this year, though, so that was cool.
Yeah. Or you chose not to stop and pee.
And, you know, I probably peed myself. I would just have no idea.
There are times where I thought, man, I wish I had to pee because I am cold.
I wish I could stop. I do. I think that might be the only time I've ever successfully chugged a beer was last year at Iceman.
Did you do it during the race?
Yes, I got two of them.
That's awesome.
They gave it to me on, it was like the long straightaway that was knee deep mud.
Oh, wow.
Next to the farmer's field. It wouldn't be the farmer's field, but you know what field I'm talking about?
Oh, old farmer's field.
The power lines. Yeah. Sure. So beginning Iceman, my first bit was kind of similar to everybody else's, is that I went to Larry's, probably up to your house for the weekend, to watch you race and everybody else race. And I didn't race.
Coming back to me.
I didn't have a bike then. And it was so much fun. And we had like, I was like, oh, this after party is just insane. And I had way too many beers. And I agreed to do Iceman. Like, all right. And then I bought a bike like a couple months later.
Yeah.
Also a rock hopper for the entry.
Yes, it was. I remember going with you to pick that out. And I was like,
yeah, we went shredding. And then we went looking at bikes. I think I bought it like that Monday.
Iceman wasn't your first race, though.
Iceman was not my first race.
Oh, I've never heard this.
My first race was actually Mud Sweat.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And Larry, you and I actually, like, we kicked ass. We were in definitely, like, beginner's class, but we took fourth and fifth, which was, like, pretty dope.
Yeah.
And then
you didn't out have of seven.
No, I had the bike for, like, I don't know, not long. A couple months.
I was gonna say you only had it for like a couple months, right? And then you did your first race.
Yeah, because I had flats, I remember.
Super awesome.
Yeah. And then my first real race, I've told the story a million times on here, was Peak to Peak. And that is something that I do not look back with any fondness.
No positivity.
Like, yeah. every minute of it I hated. Can honestly say that.
But it wasn't. It was you having bike issues, right? Or were you just dying? Combination of the
bike. All of the above.
All of the above.
Dying because of the issues.
My everything froze. Even like
it was ESI, super muddy.
My grips were coming off of my bike. I had no brakes. I had no gears. I had nothing. And I'm like, but my seat post was moving. And then my seat post was still moving for the first Iceman. I remember Tyler was like, hey, I got what you need. And he like opens up his jacket and there's this little like cellophane bag. And Alexa's like, the fuck did Tyler just give you? And I'm like, he's like, it's
friction modifier.
She's like, oh my God, what is that? What does that do?
Where do we put that?
These kids are out here doing friction modifier now.
And they're all giggling about it.
These bikers are addicted to friction modifier.
I'll modify your friction.
It's like a drug in RoboCop.
you only buy like one tube of Life. So like if anyone ever needs some, you just squirt some in a little Ziploc bag. Yeah, like, it looks sketchy as shit, but it's just like wet sand. Do you still have that?
Yeah, I might somewhere. I probably do in my pool, in my toolbox actually.
Nice.
It's so it seems like our common theme here is that we all like guy each other into Iceman.
I think it's
dope.
It's a community thing, and that's exactly what I think you were about to say, is like it comes down to one, there's something about walking around Traverse City that night and everyone wearing any sort of bike brand on a t-shirt or their Iceman merch, or just like you can sense it in their swagger they have walking down the street. You get to nod to everyone in this decently big country town of Traverse City and be like, we did this together. We were all out on the battlefield today. Like it's like team sport mentality, but your team is 5,000 people big. Like even though like technically you're racing against people, it's like Iceman's different, and it's like you're all just connected, and that's amazing. I absolutely am addicted to that part of it.
That was extremely well put, Larry.
I was awesome. I was thinking about a topic before we got started.
Yeah, you this better be good. You teased it out. He texted us. He's like, guys, I've got the best thing ever, and I can't wait for the podcast. People are going to go to my Instagram and follow me. They're going to retweet me. I'm going to be the most famous guy after I share this story.
I saw that. Yeah. I was like, oh, shit, I need to prepare for this? Like, what the hell?
I'm joking. So, he literally just said, I have a topic I want to talk about. Yeah. but it'd be way funnier.
What is it?
Well, yeah, it'll build off of what you just said, which works. So I was thinking about after like the race is not particularly fun. It's more fun when you're finished with it.
I'll say that, Evan. I agree. I don't want to derail you just really quick.
No, you're good.
Iceman is probably my least like favorite route to ride like ever. Like it's boring. It's beautiful, but it's kind of boring.
I like the competition. I like how many people are there. That part's really fun. No,
yeah, for sure. But if you're riding solo, I wouldn't go destination ride there.
Right, right.
If that makes sense.
Well, I think that the end is the most fun, honestly. Like when you get to watch all the, like you finish and you're watching all these people come through and they're 200 feet away from the finish line and they're completely spent just like everybody else. But you get to watch these people come in and it doesn't matter who is coming through the finish line. Every single person is yelling at them. Like,
oh my God, right?
Go. And it's so like encouraging and it's
intoxicating.
It is. And
I like the fact that like, sorry to cut you off, but like I like the fact that like if the person looks like they're not the bike rider, like the average typical bike rider, the louder the cheer.
Oh yeah.
Like
more overweight or like the cheaper, the shittier their bike is, the louder people get. Yes. You're like, go.
That's how it works. Those are the people that were like, oh, I'm gonna do that next year, like and just committed to it no matter what they had, what shape they were gonna be in. They're out there five hours.
That's
what it is. And they deserve
that cheer when they come through. Everybody's like, this guy rules because he did it. Good for him. Yeah. He didn't quit. And does anyone know the stats on that? How many people actually do quit? Because it's not like everyone finishes. It's nowhere near that. Like a lot of people give up.
Last year was a lot. Last year was like, I think
I was over a quarter.
Yeah, it was. Whoa. I think there was only
30-some percent.
Yeah, there was like 3,500 people, wasn't it? Like 3,500 people finished or something like that. No, finished.
So like, whoa.
Yeah, it was like 1,200 people that didn't finish.
Which comes down to it. That's why you get that extra mentality of this dude wearing a Columbia winter jacket and a Walmart bike in jeans just finished. Good for this guy.
Baby.
Yes.
Well,
I specifically remember last year was really, really, really cool because Alexi got first in the pro category.
Sure.
And yeah. and he is probably the only person that I know that's at that level that is as universally liked as, you know, as I don't even know. It just seems like he is liked by everybody.
Nobody says, like, you bring him as a froze guy. No one's like, oh, he's kind of a dick. Like, everyone's no. like, oh, Alexi, dude, he's awesome.
It seems like everybody respects him. Mm. And you don't, and a lot, I mean, obviously all the pros are going to be respected, but, like, not everybody likes them.
Well, you can respect someone as a rider, but
yeah.
You know, Tyler, like, it's like
everyone fights after peak to peak.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Even people who aren't pros and treat it like they're in the pros. Those are the people who I really have a problem. But that's for another podcast.
That's for a whole other podcast. Yeah. So I feel like we've talked. Anyways, moving on. Sorry. I don't want to
But I don't know. It was encouraging to see that at the end because, like, everybody, I mean, nobody was mad to see him win, not even any of the pros. Like, they were all, like, super happy to see him win because he was a local guy and. Yeah. Well, local to Michigan. But yeah, that was really cool. And he was, I think that was the first time he had ever won it, I believe. And
we should get him to ride Iceman with his dog on his back.
Yeah. No
kidding. That is so cool. Have you seen his Insta?
Have we reached out to try to get him on? He ignored us, right?
I've been trying to, like, tickle his pickle a little bit, and I'm like, dude, I'm liking that beer you're drinking, and I'm trying to, like, get him to, like us before I ask, like, hey, you want to be on our podcast?
Okay, good. We haven't asked.
Tickle your pickle, though.
Bro, if you come on, I'll literally tickle your pickle. But hey, Brian, I appreciate you willing to take one for the team and tickling his pickle to have a better episode.
Thank you.
That's dedication.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to go back to the cheering for the guys that didn't look like they were biking, like big bikers.
Yeah.
This year, this past year especially, I feel like we all probably, at least Lear, you and I probably did because we were really far back. I feel like I passed like tons and tons of like different people and also like got past. Like I think I saw the like just an unbelievable like different amount of people equally. I'm passing them. I'm getting past. And usually I try and like, if you're like riding with a guy for at least a little bit up a climb or something like that, I always try to like make small talk. Maybe I'm that irritating guy. Sure. And I'm like, oh, hey, at least his beer is going to be better. Or I'm like, well, that guy looks fucking weird or something. You know, I don't know. And then you get these guys.
I'm either talking shit or talking about beer, but we become friends.
I'm just joking. And then there's these guys that are like, oh yeah, man. Like, oh, Bells, I can't wait for this beer after. Like, oh, it's just like my wife's going to be so proud. I finished this. My kids are going to love it. Like, I'm coming back next year. Like, this sucks, but like, this is sweet. And then you see these guys and they're just like, oh, I fucking hate this. Yeah. I'm never going to fucking do this again. How do I, where's the guy? I need to know. I can't be paid $100 for this bullshit. And I'm like,
there was a lot of that last year.
All right. See you later.
Yeah. I'm like, all right, dude, nobody's forcing you to be here.
I even remember that for the, my first Iceman I did, there were guys that were doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I was like,
that was the nice year, wasn't it?
Yes, it was super nice.
It was like
those are the guys that were talked into it.
Yeah,
it's like a road race with no hills. They said,
exactly.
There's dirt.
Yeah.
And it's those dudes who you probably aren't seeing downtown nodding ahead to afterwards. They're gone forever.
They're gone. Yeah, they're not having the pre-ride beers. We're talking about pre-ride or the night before outings. It's always like each beer you have, you're like, is this beer going to help me in the morning or is this beer going to hurt me?
What are your guys' thoughts on that? Is there, we kind of have like the lamest tradition ever of like, but I love it. We go to Olive Garden before Iceman. I don't know if that started that year that I was there or if that's just something
it goes back to done. The expo
does
so
it
the year the that expo. You joined us the year that Larry joined us we told him to come to the expo met him in the parking lot shotgun beers before the expo.
I was there for that.
So it was okay so the year you did it
that was the year I raced
and then we went into the expo grabbed beers walked around got back to the car. More shotguns.
Yes, we did.
Oh, and we tuned up Larry's bike. And, yes, we did. The next
and then we went to Olive Garden and had a two-hearted there.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
What about, I think maybe my question was maybe lost a little bit, but, oh, sorry. Glitch on the matrix here. When it comes to the eating at Olive Garden the night before, is that a tradition as well? Or is that just an odd coincidence that we've done that every year?
I think it's the only place that'll take us.
It's
cheap. Was the only place that would take us.
It's easy to get reservations there.
It's cheap carbs. Cheap,
yeah.
Cheap carbs, man. Yeah. You can get those all you can eat. You can do your build your own bowl. I usually do the build your own bowl thing, and then
Kevin Tappy with Asiago garlic,
and then you can do all you can eat. So like before you leave, you say, "Hey, can I get this?" And then you have food for after the race.
Perfect. Yeah, I remember last year I was so mad at that because it was like the endless bowl, and I was like, "Okay, hell yeah!" Because I was actually like hella hungry too. And then like the first bowl is like perfect and delicious, and then you get another bowl, and it literally comes in like a Dixie cup. You're like, "What the fuck?
It's cold."
It's happening. Like,
yeah, they do give you a smaller one.
You're skipping a year because I thought last year we finally figured it out. We just get pizzas. We don't
did
have
we
to
do
wait
pizza last year?
We did pizzas at that cottage, and then we shotgun beers all night. Because you had staying at your cottage because it was a massive place.
we hit the booze.
Oh, and unlimited
hard
Halloween candy.
Oh, thanks to Ellen. Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
Because you guys invited like 20 people.
We had like a pre-Iceman party, didn't we?
Justin was there. Kevin was there.
Yeah,
Mitchell and Miles.
Miles race.
Mitchell's Miles.
Gosh, man.
But that's Iceman. That's why it's awesome, right?
Yeah, that's part of it.
Alexa and Karsto got like super tuned during the race.
Oh hell yeah!
Joel and I left your guys' place, and we were like, I don't know about tomorrow for them because
you guys
were on their straight path up. Joel and I were like, we better get home.
We got a race tomorrow.
I remember Alex and I trying to go to bed in the fucking that crazy ass basement of that house we were in, and we just hear this like rattling at the door, and Alex was like already scared, and I'm like, oh fuck, what is going on here? Like, is it the landlord? And I get up, Carter said, hey man, can you show me how I work this doorknob? I'm so sick. I was like, what do you mean?
What?
He's like, oh, it's Paul. Like, okay.
Oh my God.
Classic.
That is great.
He is a gem of a person. What a saint. Yeah. I love it.
He's hilarious.
He's the best.
I bet he'd be like low key, like good at biking.
I bet so. He's an athlete. Do you remember losing a race to him, Tyler?
Athleticism. Oh, yeah, your foot race.
Oh, yeah. Oof, that foot race.
He beat you in Sperry's.
He beat me fair and square.
In
Sperry's.
After smoking a cig.
I was going to say at the end of the night, too.
But then he couldn't make it to the bar.
he did stay home at the bar. He only threw up once, but he did beat me in the foot race.
Not from drinking.
But I guess, yes, you technically did. I love
that. Yeah, all these Iceman stories, I think. I think my favorite part of Iceman is the night before.
Like, there's that anxiety in the air.
It's like Christmas Eve, but it's better. And it's the same that I think about it. It's the same as like peak to peak. Like that's so much fun. And
you're just sitting there checking the weather every 5 seconds. Like, is it going to snow?
Hey guys, what are you wearing? What are you guys wearing?
No.
I feel like walking up to the expo makes it real. Like, it's not real until you, like, pull up into the parking lot and you just see the parking lot just full. You got to park way out in the boonies. Then have some beers and then walk in.
Oh, my gosh. Do you guys...
freezing your ass off?
We should be there right now, you guys. That's like...
Yeah, we would be there.
We'd be there tonight. Oh, it's melting.
Can we go around the horn and talk about each share, like, a quick, like, crazy race story? So like we'll make it quick. Like I'll go first. I think it was my first year, or maybe it had to be my first year. And I think it's one of the and I was really far back. I was fur-bagged this year too. But so we're all slow. Okay. Everyone are riding with the slow, and like, we're climbing up this hill that is, I guess, one of the first hills, and it's kind of sandy, and it's like a downhill up into like another hill, and then it goes like down, and we're all climbing up this hill, and we hear this fucking turd ball in the back yelling at people, on your left, on your right, move, fucking move, get out of the way. And we're like, okay. And this dude, like, he is cooking up this hill, and he goes to like up and over this hill to like pass someone. Like, he thought like there was more hill, and there was just like a drop, and this dude just like skyrockets off the side of this fucking hill, and we're all just like, all right, we'll see you later. And like, just nobody stopped, and we're like, okay, I guess he's fine. But that was one of the, like, that's one of the craziest things I remember.
Oh man, mine is has to do with Tyler, actually.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. Mud Sweat Beers 2 years ago.
That's, oh god.
Yeah.
So, you said race story.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Iceman. Okay. Oh, race story.
I thought didn't you say race?
He said race. You're in the right, Evan.
I'm sorry. We'll do race. Yeah. I want a new one then, because I got better stories.
I don't
it's
have
your question.
Real crazy. Nothing real crazy happened at Iceman for me. But at Mud Sweat Beers, Tyler and I were, it was right off the start. We were probably like maybe 5 minutes in, and Tyler and I were right next to each other. And I think Tyler was going to go, I think Tyler and I were riding right next to each other. Like, I think I was behind him, and then he went to go around a guy. And I think the guy came over on you, and you guys collided, and Tyler like went over the bars, and all I see is his front wheel go sideways. And I didn't see Tyler again, which made me nervous, because we would have been, he should have been faster than me. And we get done with the race, and Tyler has a broken fork. Like,
broke the brace.
Broke the brace that goes between the two lowers.
Which is, and he, insanity.
He did the entire race with a broken fork. the entire, I mean, we were like 5 minutes in. And that race was, yeah. Broke it. Yeah. I don't know how you did that. Honestly, I would have been.
We're literally within 2 miles in. We went up that hill, and it was like the first single track I pulled out in front of you, because we were riding next to each other on that road after that hill. Because I was completely dying. And then,
because you were trying to chase Joel.
Yeah. So, yeah. Good idea off the start. I was committed, and then I paid for it the rest of the day, literally. I cut into the woods right before you. And then, yeah, I went to go around some guy, and he cut out of the groove and caught my front tire. And I just went over, and like my gut like hit the handlebars, and my wheel cocked sideways. And yeah, I broke the arc right in the middle of a Fox step cast fork.
That was expensive. How new was it too, right? That was like brand new.
Oh. I bought the bike in like March. Yeah, and it was the first race slash like probably fifth ride on it.
Probably had like 50 miles tops, if that.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah,
that's crazy. And didn't you have a pain in the ass time to get it replaced too? Weren't they dicks?
I was gonna say, luckily, Fox's customer service is below average, so I had the biggest pain in the ass.
They're super nice people. Them.
Yeah, they rebuilt it.
Wasn't it broken?
And, I'm gonna say they rebuilt it to half-ass quality, and I just sent it back to them. And but they fixed it right the second time, so they kind of got it.
And I only had to miss half the season.
Yeah, that was the problem. So I had Lumberjack coming up June that year. So it was literally, it went Mud Sweat Berry Lumberjack, the 100-mile race that like I felt unprepared for the year I prepared the most for. And I missed out on having a mountain bike for like a month and a half because Fox's customer service is just, like I said, below average.
That's so below average. What a gentleman.
They made it right in the end. So.
Didn't the lockout break when they sent it back?
Nah, that was just Joel's fork lockout that stopped working for no reason. So just, you know.
Which he also has quality. A Fox Stepcast fork, literally the same exact bike.
Yeah.
So it sounds like a home run fork.
Yeah.
Well, the lighter you get, the less reliable you get. So okay. I guess you.
What is it? Light, light, cheap.
I will. I will say that reliable.
Pick two.
Yeah.
I will say I'm not the smoothest rider whatsoever. I'll power through the roughest shit to be fast, but when I could do ride smoothly, so I'm not the lightest on my equipment. So
monster trucking.
Right.
Yep.
So just to wrap this segment up, I have a short story that's, I guess, kind of funny. Last Iceman, everyone remembers when you're stuck, right? Everyone had to, in their race, there was like 30 minutes where everyone was just like in a line to get to the single track because no one, I don't know, it was annoying. So there's these dudes who started like cutting the line and like going through the woods to get across. And then finally, this guy, like two people ahead of me, like gets pissed off and goes hardo mode. And he picks the next dude who is trying to cut through and says, "You don't do that. You're not allowed to do that. We're all waiting. Everybody's waiting. What makes you think that you could do that?" And the other guy says, "It's a race. It's a race. I'm trying to go through." It's like, "You gotta do that." And it's like, nobody's wrong here. I mean, obviously, the guy cutting, like, just let
that, that was a really good impression.
Yeah, it's word for word.
But yeah, it's like, turbo time. You walk slowly.
Anyway,
was it that guy? Was it that guy?
It was basically the same guy. It's like, no, don't be the hardo who tells them not to do it, but also don't be the guy cutting through. It's like, nobody's right in that situation. I don't know. It's kind of funny. You just gotta laugh. Like,
you will argue with someone that blue in the face about if you should have walked through there or if you should have cut the line. And like, there's like super strong feelings on both sides. And it's like a, maybe don't touch that. I will say during all of this, I walked with one of our, we'll say rival teams, member of that team. And I think we're friends now. So that was cool. So next time we see
R2R guy.
Well, I didn't want to say names, but yes. What are those guys?
Oh, my bad. But
it's okay. I hope one of them listens and we have a beef now of just like a, they don't even know why there's beef, but we have a beef. Dude, that's the kind of drama we need to get this podcast up a level.
Dude, like a feud. Fucking rival team.
I'll just throw it out there. A lot of the guys are fast, but majority of them just think they're fast.
And they're kind of
like that guy at Peak to Peak last year.
Well, this is exactly what I was talking about without saying.
You mean the one that didn't even ride his bike?
Yeah.
But then continued to talk shit to Tyler.
You're 100%. You're 0%. Fucking pussy.
Literally word for word what this guy said.
I will say after that event, I am scared for Joel.
Why is that?
I don't think I've ever seen Jenny angry at anybody, but holy shit, I think that man definitely had to go change his underwear because like he.
Yeah, I don't think he even realized like what he was doing. He was just like kind of being
too many white gloves.
Yeah, he was being a douche, but like. Maybe he's just like that all the time and nobody ever says anything to him.
Half our listener base is R2R.
I love it. We can start over. We could maybe be like a cooking podcast next. We could just like have iterations of it.
I will say if any R2R guys are listening, if someone's on your tail, just let them pass. It's not that big of a deal. Like I know you're going for a slow PR, but just let the guy behind you around. When there's an opening, of course.
Did you have that issue, Tyler?
I think their like proving ground is Island Lake.
Oh yeah.
They just
so you see them outside of race and you get mad at them.
Oh yeah, this is like their local stomping ground, Metro Detroit, the most popular trail.
Okay.
They conjugate there. So.
They're not over here.
No. Yeah, they originated around here, I believe.
I love it. Who else can we talk shit about?
I want to talk shit.
This is more fun of a podcast talking shit about.
I don't really have anyone to talk shit about.
I'm talking shit about the man who tried to not let me pass him who was trying to pass me at the end of Peak to Peak. Good for you, because obviously I'm super fast and was nowhere. I was very, very close to winning the race, so kudos to you. And, it was right before the climb to go up to Peak. So lap two.
He means the climb by Miley Cyrus. It was about to play on his headphones.
It's the climb.
That's perfect. Yes. So end of the race, like whatever. And I'm like, it's the sun comes out. I'm starting to feel like vibes. I'm like, this was a dope race. This is beautiful weather. I'm about to go drink with all my buddies. Like, this is going to be great. And like, I'm vibing. And some guy's like, on your left. And I'm like,
drinking hey, Cambray juice.
He's like, hey, I'm on your left. And I'm like, hey, cool, man. Good race. And then like, I went back over because it's at a super narrow part. And Dick Nugget was right on this other dude's asshole and didn't fucking say there's another guy. And so I get over it and the guy's like, whoa, get the fuck. And he like jabs his bars over at me and I end up eating shit. And like, we're cooking going probably like 15, you know, 17 miles an hour. I eat shit. And then he turns around and instead of saying, sorry, he goes, what the fuck, man? And I'm to this day, I'm so pissed. If I see this man with this white stupid helmet with this red stupid jersey with this white and red and black stupid Cannondale lefty bike, I'm
oh my god, I remember that guy,
fucking man.
Was he wearing an R2R jersey?
No. I don't know what jersey he was wearing. And you know, in his maybe he said something I didn't hear him, but I'm gonna stick to my guns and say
That wasn't the guy who won his class, was it?
No, god no, we were very far behind. We were not winning classes.
I wasn't sure.
Or maybe he was
in our
far behind, and maybe he was cooking, and then I wasn't in his way. I don't know.
He's just riding his cool down lap.
Yeah. He was going for round two.
Yeah. All right. So in kind of slowly wrapping up here, my kind of more closing thoughts here are that my favorite days on the bike are always when I'm riding with you guys as like a group. And yes. I know this is like, oh, this sounds so mushy, but like,
are you hating
real.
On me?
Like, see, it was waiting for that comment to come in. It is the like ultimate best time. Like, we have like awesome camaraderie. Obviously, there's beers, which helps. We ride like we don't ride to go fast. We're not like cooking when we're all together. I think it's just like one of the best group ride just experiences ever. And what I'm envisioning going back to Tyler's batch party.
I was just going to say that.
Like that was super, super fun. And all these Iceman in particular is because we're all together, but these races in general. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but like, I don't particularly enjoy the actual race itself at all. I like to strive to do better than I did the year before.
Depends on the weather,
which is also weather dependent. Yeah. But it's the just being together as a group, I think is what does it. If you guys didn't do Iceman, there's no way in hell I'd do it. I would still go mountain bike every day, but I wouldn't do the big races if you guys weren't like in them.
For sure.
So I think it's the squad mentality that keeps me in it. And it's one of my just all time favorite things to do for everybody. And even like Alexa loves it. And I'm sure like Kate and Amber like it too. Like it's just like a fun, like, you know, fam event for the NH2P crew.
It also keeps you from being a lazy piece of crap.
Yeah, big time.
Because you always have to, you always know you're going to do that every year. And if you slack off during the year, you're not going to do better.
Big time. That's very well put. And I'm wondering, do you guys notice that, or at least I've noticed, when I go for rides now, I still ride probably as often as I used to like last year, but they're not even close to as long. Like this year in 2020, I still definitely like go out and ride like 2 to 3 times a week still, or try to. As it's gotten colder, I've definitely just like not ridden. Whereas if Iceman was tomorrow, I would have been out there working my ass off to stay in shape. But
thicken your blood up.
Exactly. Whereas like 2020 is like, man, maybe I like mountain biking more because the whole end of the season isn't me. It's not training. Yeah. It's going out and having a good time, and which is ultimately mountain biking in a whole. But
I mean, we started it as just something to do, and then it evolved into this. And I think COVID has kind of brought the fun of it back for me because I don't feel like I have to do it.
I would agree with that.
I just do it because it's fun, not because I have races coming up.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. I even started dabbling in like Skills Park area, which is like shit I didn't think I'd ever do.
And we all caught air, and there's photos to prove it.
Like, that was fun. Like, we weren't like, okay, hey, let's go out and let's try and get 40 miles today. It was like, let's go ride and we're going to take a bunch of photos and we're going to jump shit and do shit like we wouldn't normally do because we're not going to spend the Saturday preparing for the race next weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've ridden, I mean, over the summer, I was riding a bike like once a week, but I was doing other stuff. And
you also lived in Paradise Land, so.
Yeah.
Well, I was also where the grass is green and the girls are pretty.
Yeah. I was also riding my dirt bike.
Yeah, you're a little dirt bike boy. I would be on the dirt bike.
Oh, yeah. You bought a mountain bike that has pistons and smaller wheels, but somehow goes faster. Like, what?
Good time.
Also, way more comfortable seat.
Yeah, the whole thing's more comfortable.
I bet. Yeah, we have bikes like that. Why doesn't my bike look like that bike?
Well, e-bikes are the future. I can't wait.
Yeah. Oh, that's a whole nother.
So before we wrap this up, I had one more question because we have Tyler on here. He has a perspective of a psycho, which is great because he has
done the maniac. That's got to be the hardest. That's as far as like my friends that I know, that's the hardest ride that I've heard of anyone completing.
Yes.
You guys are talking about Lumberjack 100.
We're talking about your Lumberjack 100. Yes. We want you to talk about it too now.
I want to hear two things here. Is one is like the preparedness of the night before, because we talked about how fun it is for Iceman, and I can only assume it's a little different for when you have a 100-mile race the next day.
Is it
and
a whole also, week?
Yeah.
and then the second thing is, is it still a fun, awesome time after where you have that like awesome camaraderie and funness that we were talking about? Or is it totally different because you just literally can't move? please go for it. Hit us with the answer.
So deciding to do this race was just because a 100-mile race is out of my wheelhouse, right? All the races that we did were like before this were under 36 miles. Like the longest race I've ever done is a 36 mile gravel race. And then all our mountain bike races are 30-ish miles. So I just decided to go for it. So the Lumberjack 100 is in the Manistee State Forest that three laps of 33.3 some miles, 2,000 elevation feet.
Did you ride it every before? Lap.
No.
You didn't go pre-ride the course?
No, the best I could do is see YouTube videos of before and Strava files. So
I had a general idea. Even stress the difference of like a 100-mile gravel ride or something like that. It's not like that. It's like actual mountain biking.
Oh, no. Right? No, this is straight up mountain biking. So psycho like shit. Getting prepared for this. So to put it in perspective, just to train for it, like Joel and I put in Joel did it with me and we put in a few hard training days. Like we did four laps at Island Lake, which I don't know, it's about, what is it, Evan, 16 miles?
I think it's 16 mile, 15 or 16. I think it's 15.
What's that?
Yeah, so we did, it's about 1,200 feet each for the yellow and blue loop.
Okay.
Total. Right.
Yeah, nothing.
Just 1,200. It's fine. So also we did like three laps of Pado in one sitting. So that put it in perspective.
How much shamey buddy you're getting into.
So I'll get into that with Lumberjack. Lumberjack, you go 33 miles and you stop in the pits to fill up on like water and everything. So lap two, I definitely reapplied some butt butter. So yeah, definitely needed to. I was getting to the point. It definitely stung when it went back.
So what, Tyler? What were you consuming in a single lap?
So I had
bagels, two pizzas, bottles,
full carrots.
Oh, everything. Shoot, I leaves. Forgot the brand it was, but I had two 22-ounce bottles and then a 2-liter pack. So in the bottles I had a hydration mix and then the packages had water.
Yep.
And then every hour, I ate goo roctane gel.
Okay.
So
you had your,
like,
you had 10 goo roctane gels?
Only ate about 10 of those. So actually, I don't think it was quite 10.
Did you have a bottle and a goo Roctane gel every hour?
Yeah, so okay. We calculated it out, how many calories you burn per hour per, like, we had a goal for, like, I think it was practically, we had a goal of 10 hours, and we knew how many calories we were going to be burning at 10 miles per hour, so we just ate that, and it ended up taking us 10 hours in, I believe it was 32 minutes for 100 miles.
Yeah, I was curious how many carbs you were consuming.
All of them.
Probably to survive.
So, probably like 80 or probably 80, right?
Could you eat solid food after?
I don't remember. I literally calculated out on a piece of paper and saved the paper just in case I ever decided to do that again. So
we'll see.
So I will say, like, I'm a one and done for lumberjack. I know I'm going to eat those words because I really want to. But I think I want to do some. Hey, Joel's looking for people to do it with him. But I think I want to do something a little different. So to me, it was kind of a boring ride. But the fact that, like, I wanted to do 100 miles, that's what did it for me. But I want to do something else. So you wanted me to touch base on, like, the after party of this. So
main difference. Yeah.
So it's nothing like.
Todd, do you have anything to talk about? I heard there was a keg incident at the end of this race.
Oh man,
you could probably skip, like, that story.
Yeah,
it's nothing like the end of Iceman, because there's not 5,000 races there. There's only a couple hundred, and, like, people feel different after 100 miles. Like, personally, I felt good after 100 miles just for the fact that, like, I was coming off adrenaline after like finishing those last five miles. I was like cooking. That's probably the fastest I went all day, just because I knew I was done. Beer was supposed to be served to me at the end, but there's a little, I don't know what happened there. But I went back to my car, reliable source of beer, and had a few of my own in the parking lot.
The magic car.
Yeah, the magic car. But that was a very rewarding day. It was fun.
It was for a personal achievement, it sounds like. It was to say, I did this and
oh, yeah. You
know, which is also, I think, you know, a similar reason why you do Iceman too, but way more impressive. Can you imagine 3 Iceman laps?
Oh, I can now, but
yeah. But if you did Iceman, there, back, and then there.
All right, next year we can do it.
So, like, an out and back and out.
Yeah.
2 years ago, who was the guy that did it twice? He finished, went back, and did it again. I think it was a coordinator.
Well, good for him.
I do remember that, though.
I'm not sure.
Who is the signs? Anyway. The signs at Iceman where everyone's like, thank Tom for kicking your butt or whatever.
That's Margie, and that's Todd.
Oh, Todd. Okay. Yeah.
Blame Todd, blame Danny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love it. But Brian, Tyler, were you about to say, like, the next achievement you want to do is something different, maybe something like Margie or the Crusher or something like that?
I think I would like those. I really like the format of the Crusher this year for the fact that it was like, do it on your own time and you're still,
that's cool. Like, or just with like a group of friends, we could have like done it on our own weekend or something.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like you're going to have a kid coming up. Like, we got to be able to pick our weekends. Like, if they could pull off like that scheduling next year, where you could do it on your own, but still be tracked and make it your own event, that would be great. I think I'd be more willing to do that than sign up for a rigid date. And, I don't know, train all summer for that rigid date.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah. I don't know. I'm not signing up for anything quite yet. So we'll see.
Well, are we all at least going to sign up for, I say we all got to do it because we missed races this year, but Mud Sweat Beers, we got to do that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That'll be the next time we're on bikes again, maybe even. I don't know if I'm going to ride the rest of the year.
I hope everything clears up and, like, the, I don't know, the environment of all the races are just like double what they usually are on a normal year for next year.
That would be nice. Yeah.
And all these races next year will be like limited entries. So everyone's going to be gung-ho to get entries. So.
Everyone's going to be ready to ride again.
Yeah.
Well, boys, I figured it's getting a little late here. This has been awesome. Maybe we go around one last time and just maybe say our favorite thing about Iceman and what you were sipping on this podcast. I think, Evan, maybe you can go first and Brian can go last because his mic is unplugged and that'll give him just enough time to figure out how to fix his mic.
Probably my favorite thing about Iceman other than the after is the drive to the starting line, because I don't think I'm ever more pumped to like
the morning of, you mean?
Yeah, the morning of, like driving to the start line, like just getting pumped in the car, listening to the music, and you're just ready to go. Like the jitters are kind of going away because it's already morning and you're kind of, you know, you're all dressed and you're, you know, you got breakfast and you're just in the zone.
Hell yeah. What do you listen to? I know in you, it's probably some like heavy EDM. I'm listening to like screamo, like, now I'm gone. And it gets me super hype. But what about you?
I think last year we were listening to Metallica in the car. No, it was Steel Panther. We were listening to Steel Panther in the car. Yeah, it was great. And we rolled up and I was, you know, it was like raining out. And parking was a mess, but I was just in the zone. I'm like, we got Steel Panther on the radio, and we're going to race Iceman.
I love that.
That is my least favorite part of Iceman, is the drive there.
Oh, my God. And the anxiety is just through the roof, right? I'm kind of halfway with you and halfway with Evan, because I do I think we drove together, right, Brian? I made you listen to my screamo, just like...
I loved it. Yeah. Get a little roadie beer going. Someone's feeding you.
Roadie beer going.
At 6 in the morning.
All too hard before Iceman this past year.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to say, if you keep riding as much as you are, you won't be able to sleep in much longer.
Yeah, he's going to be at the front of the line. Brian's a freaking speed demon now.
Yeah.
Now his mic is out.
All right, so then I'm up.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll just say the overall weekend, right? So like driving up, you like, I'm coming from Metro Detroit, so the second I get on the highway, I'm starting to see bikes all the way to Traverse City.
Oh, isn't that the best?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So like, even on the highway, you're like passing people and you know each other, like you're both going to the same place and you're getting waves and like thumbs up and stuff, and then
you
get there Friday night, you're excited to get to the expo. That's usually when all friends gather together, have a few beers, walk through, and then get ready for the big day of the next day.
Hell yeah. So, I think while we're on that, like, were you still going? I'm sorry.
No, I'm good.
But yeah, the expo, man, how fun is that every year? Just like, yeah, we can
do nothing now, like it. You can go to a bike shop, but there's nothing like that. So, I mean, you have like it's 10 bike shops there and just like all the different brands ordering their stuff. And
I agree, man. And it's so cool just like going around checking at like bikes you'll never be able to afford and just getting all the free Roctane and Cliff bars that you can handle. With the caveat that last year they were a little stingy with the Cliff bars. Okay, Cliff, come on, man.
Oh yeah, you didn't get them, did you? Can you hear me now? By the way,
yes, I can. But cool. Yeah, Cliff bars, like by the time I guess I was there or something, they were like, actually you get like half of one, and
you get half a gel.
Yeah,
that's been on the table that everyone's breathed on for the last hour.
Yeah, you actually have to share it with the guy behind you.
There's some in your bag, it's okay.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, man, just I think I said all that I have to say, but I just love Iceman. I love racing in general, and I don't race. That's the craziest thing, is like racing has like the name race in it, but I, like you guys said, only race myself. I never, obviously Tyler, you don't count because you're good. Evan too, you got what, you got like 13th at Peak to Peak last year. Like, you guys actually kick ass out there. Brian and you basically would have this year. I'm alone. You guys so can't say you're cool like me anymore and don't care. I'm the person who still can say doesn't care, because I'll never be fast like you guys. But that being said, is like, even someone like me has just as much fun as someone like you guys who actually like race and stuff. So that's the magic of being there. And it truly is a magical weekend every year. And I'm very sad we're not there. I wish I could say this is a close second, but at least we get to talk about it, you know?
Yeah, right.
I like it. I'm just bummed we're not all just, yeah, just like hanging out. We don't even have to be racing. Just like, let's go hang out. We don't have to do bikes. Like, I don't know. It's kind of hard for all of us to get together.
Yeah.
We're all from, you know, kind of COVID hotspots in Michigan, and it's not great.
But. Yeah, we're back on lockdown here at our house with the pregnant wife and everything. We're not doing anything because it's not looking great. I know we kind of all had a bonfire at your house last weekend, which we probably shouldn't have, but
yeah,
I'm back to locking it.
We're talking about that. We're like, well, maybe we should have less people now.
Probably.
But. By a lot of people, we had like five, but you know.
I still feel like I missed out.
Yeah, it's a weird time, guys. It's a weird time. But I'm grateful for technology and this podcast, even like it's more of an excuse of we're just four buddies having a chat here, and I can't believe anyone will actually listen to this. So I apologize in advance.
But anyone still listening?
Yeah.
This is when you used to give stuff away.
Yeah. For real.
The fifth caller.
I'll tell you what.
Fifth caller.
If someone is listening this far, you will win this week's hat. You don't even have to submit. If you DM me,
there you go.
And the first person to DM the Local Roots saying you're still listening this far in, you win.
Keyword is
Santa's got a brand new bag.
Sure, that Santa's got a brand new bag.
Hell yeah!
What?
That's from Elf.
Oh,
code word is Santa's got a brand new bag.
Oh yeah, I remember that part.
it was very dumb to say. Guys, I've had a blast. I am tired though. I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to go around the horn, give you a little bit of what I'm sipping on. And why do we keep saying around the horn? What the fuck is that?
No one is, but you are.
You said it, and that's what was stuck in my head. So maybe I started. Anyway, I did a mobile beer review about it. I'm still drinking them, and I like them now. I'm raising my score. Divine from Shorts. The more it's been in my fridge, it tasted sour today. So maybe
trying to get his money's worth.
No, I think they're getting better. Like with age, they're getting
like more
sour. Like wine. Divine, the American sour ale brewed with Pinot Noir grapes. I love it now. I still don't raise it that much. I'm going to just give it from a 4 to a 5. That's all I got. Thanks for listening. Let's go around.
Don't even rest.
So, is Brian stoned?
No.
No? Okay, just kidding.
I am drinking a concoction of apple juice, Everclear, 180
proof. Holy shit, man.
And cinnamon sticks and a little bit of sugar that I made. Well, Chris and I made, my old roommate.
Don't get near any open flames.
Yeah.
No kidding.
I give it a 10 out of 10.
Hell yeah, brother.
Only because I made it.
Yes. Brewed at Chateau de Campbell.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going in the middle. I'm drinking the go-to Busch Light.
My man, of course.
And your score on the latte.
10 out of 10, based on price.
10 out of 10. That is not the
This score has not been endorsed by the official Local Roots scoring system and will have to be determined at a later date.
It's like the disclaimer, because we have not done the official Busch
Light. We need to do the official Busch Light review.
All right.
I am drinking...
Never mind.
Arvon, Double Down Simcoe, Double New England Style India Pale Ale, which is a Double New England Style IPA, abundantly hopped with Simcoe hops. Keep cold, drink fresh, 8.5% alcohol by volume. And it's delicious, and I'm going to give this
okay.
9 out of 10.
I will back that up. I had it last weekend, and it was excellent.
It's
Arvon is just nothing but hits. They're gems.
They're all great, and this is a superb. It is
side effects may include been. Brian. That's what you sounded like. Side effects may include. Blah, blah,
blah. I was reading a can. And, okay.
No, I loved it. It's great. Well, guys, it's been a weird 2020, and it's only going to get weirder. But hey, we have podcasting.
And hopefully by the time you hear this, we will have a new leader of our country.
Maybe. Who knows? Or Civil War. So stay tuned. Find out next week on Local Roots Podcast. Bye. Fuck, I don't know.
You've got to keep that.
That's how it's going to end, I think.